All right, here we go. Episode, I think 21, Sean. Nice of you to at least join us this episode.
Yeah, I've been missing for a few weeks. I don't know where I was, but I'm back.
Yeah, but no worries, too, because like I had said in the last, I shit on you a little bit in the last podcast, but I also said you definitely, or I definitely owed you some solo episodes from when I was just, you know, running around. So, and you had a good excuse last game. You were at the Red Sox getting some videos and pictures and stuff like that. But
exactly.
But we are back here. We got episode 21, and too bad it's gonna be a pretty. Sean, I feel like ever since we started this podcast, we've had so many negative things to talk about.
That's what makes the podcast fun. We just be angry the entire time, even though we're so spoiled with other teams. We still find ways to get angry.
Seriously though, it's like we're always talking about. I guess it's probably because we talk. I mean, you must suffer through it, but I just can't stick away from the Celtics. You like to mix it up. You like to talk Patriots, Red Sox, and Celtics, whereas we're talking about the Patriots and I accidentally call them the Celtics. Because I'm just an idiot and too tied to that team. So it's probably that. Like, it's probably my fault because I'm constantly bringing up the Celtics and just giving it an absolutely negative tone because there's nothing really positive to talk about with the Celtics these days, nor this season if you look at it as a whole.
And it's such a weird season. We're the 4 seed. But it was one of the most stressful seasons I have ever seen. We could have had the years we had the worst record in the league were more enjoyable than this season.
Which is exactly where I wanted to start, Sean. So I wrote on Guy Boston Sports today, we haven't done segments in a while, have we?
Well, before we get into the Celtics, I think we owe it to our listeners to talk about the Bruins.
Good point. Good point. We should spend a little time on the Bruins. Why don't you start?
Congrats to the Bruins for last night's win, advancing to the next round.
And that's Bruins talk. Let's move on to the Celtics.
All right, sounds good, Ed.
All right. So I wrote about it on our site, guybostonsports.com today. You know, the site that powers this podcast. If you don't know our site, I don't know what you're living under. It must be a very, very big rock. But Sean, this article, you probably didn't read it. It was tough for me to write. It's called I Love the Celtics, but I don't think I love this team. And you know me, just like I said, I'm so tied to the Celtics team. I love the Celtics. I know you love the Celtics. We both love the Celtics, but for some reason, this Celtics team is like a part of me. I wake up hungover after bad losses like today, and I didn't drink anything last night. And I mentioned that in the article. I just talk about how I've always loved the Celtics. And what did you just say about, you know, 2 minutes ago about teams with bad records? We still enjoyed them, right?
Like, exactly.
You still enjoyed it. And this team, I get it. I get it. Enjoyment is not the barometer, and I think someone actually tweeted me this. It's not the barometer of how good a team is, like enjoyment level of the fan. That's not it. It's about championships and elite talent. But guess what? I'm fed up with that, Sean. I just want to be able to sit down and enjoy the Celtics again. Haven't been able to do that all year, it seems.
They're so back and forth. How many times have we said, all right, they're back? And that usually means Gordon Hayward is starting to feel it. And then out of nowhere, we fall into the trap, and they're back to shit again, and they just look completely lost. And I heard on the radio today, when things are going well and the Celtics are on a high during the game, they'll be all right. But the second something goes bad, they shit their pants, and they can't recover. Like the Bucks, they'll have a tough period of time, but they'll get right back into it. They can recover. The Celtics are like mentally weak, and they just let it defeat them. They defeat themselves.
Seriously, it's honestly god awful at this point. I do want to get into that a little bit more as we get into this podcast. I kind of want to go through like the guys that actually play. So they're more common players, you know, not the Semi Ojeleyes or anything like that, but we're going to go name by name. And you and I are going to say either, yes, we're satisfied with them this season or no, we're not. But we'll get into that. But I do want to just get back to my article really quickly. And just, I pretty much had talked about how this team, if anyone's followed me on Twitter for a while or knows me, they know that I loved Isaiah Thomas. Sean, you know that I love, still do, but loved Isaiah Thomas when he was a Celtic. And the fact that I went from watching that team to this team in 2 years might have something to do with why I'm just so turned off by this team. It's wild. At least that team tried, and at least I loved watching them. Like, honestly, I get it. I totally get it. This team, more talent. I'm not going to argue there. Kyrie Irving, yeah, better than Isaiah Thomas. I guess that's been proven too because Isaiah Thomas has been injured for the better half of these 2 years. So I understand that. But like I said, I want to be able to sit down, grab a beer, watch the Celtics and really enjoy myself instead of trying to enjoy it. Like, instead of me telling myself, wow, I love the Celtics, always have, let's see what we got here. No, it's so annoying. And I did get a really good response from that article. Like, for some reason, I thought I was going to get crushed, but I was like, I have to get my thoughts out there. Sean, 95%, I would say, agreed with me. Like, yeah, no, I hate this team.
And but sadly, we're all feeling the same way.
Yeah, it was kind of wild. But even so, like, I get it when people are feeling that way. But when they see it on paper or they see it on their computer, it's kind of like, oh, this guy doesn't believe. They always, even though, like, I'm saying the truth, like, obviously, we're not satisfied with this team. Sometimes people will still jump at it and be like, oh, you're a loser. Like, you're just a bandwagon. The minute they stink, you don't like it. No, that's not the case here. Most people agreed. And some people did have good counters to it. Like, the one guy that tweeted me and said, you know, I get that you're saying you don't enjoy this team, and you're probably right, but that's not the measurement of whether or not a team is good, whether or not we enjoy them. It's whether or not they can get it to the finals and stuff like that. Well, newsflash to that guy, and thank you, because he was very respectful about disagreeing with me, but newsflash to that guy, the Celtics are about to get practically swept by the Bucks in the second round. So is that a good measurement of whether or not I should like this team, Sean?
I think that kind of sums it up, and it makes me want to trade half the team the entire game.
Seriously, it's like, hey, Isaiah Thomas, Eastern Conference Finals. The JV team last year, Eastern Conference Finals.
Game 7. Could have done it.
Literally, and like, they should have done it. That's even crazier. They should have done it. Like, they stunk in Game 7. They should have done it. If they just played half, like 50% better, they would have done it. And now, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, the young guys who are supposed to be really good now. Lucky win in round two. I'm going to say that. Sean, if there's anything we've gotten out of these four games, that game one was a fluke.
I guess so. And I thought, like, I don't think we're going to lose this entire stretch of the postseason until we get to the finals against the Warriors.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, please, please win two more games. Please, I'm begging.
Seriously.
Paul Pierce maybe jinxed it, but most of the blame's going to go on this Celtics team.
Totally right. And like I had said last episode, I think I pretty much proclaimed, no, my confidence is fully back. Screw it. I'm in on this team. I'm back. Pfft, give me a break. People were telling me I was being too negative on Twitter. So last episode after game one, I was like, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe I didn't give this team enough credit. Well, look what happened. How are you going to let me go on this podcast riding solo when I have no one else to vent to? And then I say that my confidence is back and that I believe they can beat the Bucks, and they just fart in their pants.
I have never heard that saying before, but I think it fits the situation.
But I don't even think, like, the Celtics couldn't even do that correctly. That's a good point by me. Like, they couldn't even shit themselves correctly. They farted in their pants. Do you know why? Because they won game one, Sean. They won game one and gave people confidence. They couldn't even suck in this series appropriately.
They stole home court advantage, and they promptly gave it right back.
Ugh. So frustrating, but
we can't even blame the refs anymore. I thought that was going to be a narrative, and then it completely went away from it. It was from the Celtics sucking, not the refs.
Yeah, that's, and I had tweeted that out too, and people really didn't like it. Like, I'm flabbergasted. I tweeted out, I don't know if I can find the tweet, because it was after that game. What was it? Game 3? That was the really, no, game, what was the really bad officiated one? Was it game 2 or 3?
Pretty sure it was game 2 when it all started.
Okay, so yeah, the Tony Brothers one, I think.
Yeah.
Either way, it was game 2 or 3, and I tweeted out, like, I get it. The refs didn't seem like they had, you know, refed a good game. Giannis was getting to the line. They weren't calling it evenly both ways. He had the bullshit call on Jaylen Brown. And then I said, but is it too much to ask that I honestly just want the Celtics to play better basketball? I understand that maybe the NBA rigged that game and blah, blah, blah. But hey, like, can't the Celtics at least compete?
I think myself included, the fans, after the game one win, we didn't want to think it was for any other reason besides the referees. And I was guilty in thinking that was the referee's fault. That wasn't the Celtics. You saw what they did in game one. I thought they were the real deal. I was back on board. But then in the last two games, I realized it was not the refs. This team is just collapsing all over again like it has all season.
Seriously, it's...
So if I replied to that tweet talking shit, which I don't know if I did, I apologize.
Yeah, the fact that you just have to assume that you did reply talking shit to me is pretty telling, because you're always doing it. Either way, it's just, it's so disappointing. Like, you can tell it's so easy for us to get off the rails on this podcast because there's so many different things that just suck about this team right now. And let's get into the specifics. I'm going to run down just some of the Celtics players, right? And
yeah.
No, we'll do Brad Stevens. So we'll start there. Brad Stevens, you satisfied or dissatisfied with him?
Not really. I've never seen the all year the halftime adjustments coming on the third quarter. It's just complete shit.
Yeah.
And obviously this team is mentally weak, so it's got to start with the head coach, and he's not doing something. He's missing something. And the fact that Aaron Baines only played 9 minutes last night, I put that on Stevens as well.
Yeah, really puzzling, actually. But he's one of the bigger pieces to blame for me. But I do think it all starts here. What about Kyrie Irving? You satisfied with him or not?
Absolutely not. Especially when after he said last night, who cares? Kyrie, the point of basketball is to put the ball in the hoop and then they question your shooting and your shots. That's not when you say who cares. Was he 19 of 64, whatever, the last three games?
62, unacceptable.
Yes, I think was you that tweeted last night? He said he wanted to shoot 30 shots. Like, what's the difference if you miss eight more shots?
Yeah. I was like, dude, the one thing he couldn't have said last night, the one thing he shouldn't have said was, oh, I only took 22 shots, right? I only took 22 shots. I should have shot 30. Like, no, you shouldn't have. You made 7 of those 22. You stunk last night, Kyrie. You shouldn't be out here saying, oh, I should have taken 8 more shots. No, that means 8 more bricks. You can build a little wall with those bricks. 8 bricks? Are you kidding me, Kyrie?
Oh. He starts off each game like a made 3, like, here we go.
Yeah,
and then he misses like 14 in a row.
I've probably tweeted out so many times, like, playoff Kyrie in the first quarter.
And then by
the end of the game, like, did you see what I tweeted out last night? I was like, is Kyrie throwing this game?
I was tweeting, I'm like, I think Kyrie Irving's playing like he wants to be a Knick right now.
Seriously, and the one thing you said, like, when they asked him about his shooting and he said, who cares? Kyrie, Boston fans care. Your team cares. You should care. Who cares? Everyone. Oh,
literally everybody.
It's so, that's the worst thing to say. Like, who cares? Everyone. Like, that's the point. If no one cared, that question wouldn't come up. If no one cared, you'd never get shit on for missing shots.
He should be so angry with himself with the way he played. Then he should be angry with himself the way he answered that question.
And I'm so annoyed with his, and then he said, like, I'm still confident down 1-3-1. It's like, dude, I get it. You're supposed to say that, but enough with this genius mentality. Like, Kyrie, get out of town if you're still confident. You don't have to say, like, oh, the series is over. I'm not asking him to do that, but to say he's still confident that they're going to win this series is, like, he's insane at that point. You have to say, this is the appropriate answer to that. Like, hey, you're down 3-1. What are your thoughts? We have to take it one game at a time and hopefully get back into this. I think we can do it. We're good, and we feel confident, right? But he shouldn't be answering it. Hey, Kyrie, how do you feel down 3-1? Oh, I'm confident. I'm confident. Like, dude, no, what are you, an idiot? Like, he thinks he's just better than everyone else. Ugh.
And we know he hit the big shot against the Warriors in the finals. When they were down 3-1, he hit it in Game 7. But LeBron's not here to bail him out this time. He needs to make those shots. He needs to be the guy. Gordon Hayward isn't going to be his LeBron James. So I don't know if he realizes that. Being down 3-1 is not the same as being down 3-1 with LeBron James right next to you.
Seriously, yeah, you're spot on, because Kyrie almost thinks he's LeBron, and guess what? There's only one LeBron James. There's only one guy that can be down in a series and say, okay, now I'm going to take over. Kyrie Irving, you've tried to take over. Last year, LeBron kind of coasted for the first part of that series in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then in Game 7, he was like, okay, let me go try and win this. And guess what? He did it. Kyrie Irving, you've tried every single game, and you've failed. Al Horford was really the reason that they won Game 1, right? I mean, Kyrie had a good game. Kyrie had a good game. But it wasn't like Kyrie dropped 40 and they blew out the Bucks. So I don't even want to give him credit for that.
And he should be dropping 40.
Yeah, I mean, especially if he's going to shoot 30 shots like he wants. At least.
Luckily for him, us fans don't care.
Yeah, I know. Who cares? Eh, no one. Yeah, you're right. What if whoever had asked that, I don't know who asked that question, but what if he was like, who cares? And you're like, yeah, right, no one. And they just...
No one gives a fuck. Everyone leaves.
Yeah.
What are we doing here, guys?
So we'll stick with Kyrie as we go, before we go on to some other names about if we're satisfied or not. Do you think Kyrie's here next year?
If we lose tomorrow, I think he's probably gone. I don't know if he can come back from this. After what he said last night, the way he's played, the way he's acted all year, even after saying, I want to have my number retired, I want to come back if you welcome me, I don't know if fans want him back.
Yeah, someone tweeted me that today, and they were saying, I guess Kyrie really is a prophet, because it's pretty ironic now that he had asked fans if you'll have me. And right now, probably 50% of fans are probably like, nah, dude.
if you get us to the finals, yeah, you can come back and try again. But if you don't get us out of this round, we can probably move on and say, okay, we gave it a shot, but obviously that wasn't working out.
It's funny you mentioned that too, because I literally said, after shitting on this team and shitting on the makeup of this team, I pretty much said at the end of my post today, I was like, can you prove me wrong? Can you win me back? Yeah, win three straight games and then we'll talk or something like that.
I'll erase this podcast. Like,
yeah. Whoa, relax. Come on now. Let's not do anything.
Not the podcast itself. I meant the episode.
Sean's like, no more to the boss talk because they won three straight games. That's not a bet I'm willing to make.
It is done.
people just had a heart attack because they love the podcast. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Yeah. So I don't think that I think you're pretty spot on. I don't know if Kyrie's mind is made up yet. Meaning these games, yeah, they're pretty important. But let's keep going down. Gordon Hayward, are you satisfied or not with him?
You know, first game, pretty efficient. Looked like Gordon Hayward. Last night, what, he had 2 points?
Yep. On 26 minutes.
He looks very soft out there.
Yep. So I'm with you there. So that's three disappointments, zero. What's the opposite of that? Satisfaction, right? So now we're 3-0. Al Horford this season.
You know, game one. Perfect. I think we go with him even more than Kyrie Irving. If Al Horford's going on offense, he's going to look even better on defense. Mm-hmm. Like, he blocked Giannis in game one. I hit put that nice picture out with Giannis disappearing, but that came back to haunt me. But Horford's been game two. I think he was pretty awful, and yep, he's been pretty average since. I'll give him some credit for game one, but overall he needs to be a lot better. Yeah. I can't say I'm completely satisfied with the way he's playing.
No, I'm not at all either. I can't. He's also going in the unsatisfactory column for me, and I'm just talking. I know we're focusing on the series too, but overall this season, like, same for like Horford didn't have a good season. There were points where I really think, and I've talked to KJ about it too, like, we both are in agreement, Al Horford has to be hurt. He wasn't playing that well. He's not moving that well. He's just not the guy that, when Al Horford can't do all the little things, then he's not Al Horford that we love. We need Al Horford that, sure, when he goes off, like you said, if he goes off, the Celtics usually are playing damn well. But we need a guy that, like, if Al Horford's efficiency rating, if he's not even have a good efficiency rating, that can't be your fallback. Like, Al Horford's the definition of the guy. Let me explain this. He's the definition of the guy that will have bad stats, but someone could be like, oh, but check out his efficiency rating. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess he's good. But if you can't even have that, then it's like, Horford, what are you doing, man? We don't want our center to average 13-6. Like, that's not a starting max guy. 13-6?
No,
I'm not satisfied with Horford. So let's continue here.
I'm nervous we're not going to have any good ones.
Yeah, well, we will see. We shall see, Sean. So we have four unsatisfactory and zero satisfactory. Let's get to Jason Tatum. This season as a whole, and yes, obviously this last series.
You know, what happened to playoff Tatum from last year?
Yep.
And what happened to the good 3-point shooter until last night? I think he was 0 of 11.
Ugh. Ugh.
Doesn't look great. I can't get into all the details. I don't think he's playing too great this series. I've seen make some really bad passes, some bad shots, trying to be Kobe Bryant. He can be a lot better. We saw it last year. He dunked on LeBron James. I just want to see more from him because I don't want him to get traded in the offseason.
No, I'm still willing to give Tatum time. That's fine. Except, Sean, pick a category. Unsatisfied or satisfied?
This is tough, but I'm going to have to compare it to last year, and I'm going to have to say I'm unsatisfied.
Totally. You kidding me?
I think he's better.
Yeah, completely right there. Jason Tatum had a way better season last year, in my opinion. And Jason Tatum was the guy that we were all getting excited for. Now, why is everyone frustrated with him? That's like the definition. If you're going to say that you're frustrated with someone, then you have to say that it was an unsatisfactory season. There's no way you can be frustrated and then not then say that you're satisfied. It doesn't work like that. And I think I want to say his numbers were better. I can probably pull it up, but I just don't care to. I think he had a better season than last year, numbers wise, at least points per game. That doesn't mean that he's a better player. Jason Tatum looked a little bit different this year, and I think he also goes in the unsatisfactory category. Now, he's almost there. I think we're in agreement that, like, we're not really putting so much blame on him just because he is so young. But, like, I mean, whatever. Like, Jason Tatum, unsatisfied. And I think that's 5-0 now. And this one, I'm also going to say I'm unsatisfied with. Jaylen Brown. And I'll lead with this, Sean, and then you can give me your answer. I get it. Jaylen Brown didn't have, you know, much room to do much this year. But if you're supposed to be the starter and you lose your spot and then never gain that spot back until an injury, I'm sorry, Jaylen. I think Jaylen Brown actually stepped it up in many, many games, especially late in the season. But I can't say I'm satisfied with you, because I'm also remembering the first 2 months of the season when Jaylen Brown was the problem. So, again, that's 6-0 for me. Do you think, Jaylen Brown, are you satisfied or dissatisfied with him?
The series has been kind of up and down. I mean, I know he's been getting into some foul trouble, and some of those foul calls were horrible. And he's basically only, like, a lock for the corner three. And then anything else, it's an absolute brick. But as far as expectations versus reality, where he's been in the league for, what, 2 or 3 years now?
Three, yep.
I have to say, I'm unsatisfied.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, as we go through this, it's like, it's pretty much just black or white, right? Like, obviously, there's going to be gray areas. Tatum and Brown are two that, yeah, we're not really worried about them. At least I'm not. I don't want to speak for you, Sean, but it's not really like I'm thinking, oh, shit, like, you know, rock the boat. Like, no, who knows? Kyrie Irving, I'm actually worried about. I'm like, dude, what the hell is up with this guy? Jason Tatum, I think, is going to be good. Right. Jason Tatum, I think, is going to be good. Jaylen Brown, I think, is going to be good still. But if we're just looking at this season and then, you know, predominantly these playoffs, I have to say dissatisfied. Now let's get into a positive one. What about Marcus Morris this year?
He sucks. I'm just kidding. Started off the year with like a 50-40-90 slash line. Like, he was like looking like an all-star.
Yep.
Obviously had a little bit of a slump, but as far as being a guy off the bench and starting when he needs to,
yep,
he was an awesome player. I was nervous when we traded Avery Bradley, but what else could we have asked for getting this guy back?
Yeah.
Like, he's been awesome. And I think last night he had like 16 points, like 14 or 15 rebounds. Very quietly.
Mm, and he's been consistent too. I mean, I know you said he had the slumps in the season, but you know, hindsight 2020, Marcus Morris had a phenomenal year just compared to what I really thought he would do. Like, it's not like he didn't blow my expectations out of the way. I don't want to say that. Like, it wasn't like I was like, holy shit, Marcus Morris did that this year. Like, no, like, Marcus Morris, we know what he can do and we've seen him do it before. But I'm pretty damn satisfied with Marcus Morris this year. So I think he's our first bright spot, Sean.
I think we need to see a tech out of him tomorrow night.
I loved seeing him shove Giannis at the end of last game. Like, I'm not trying to encourage violence, but is that the one guy that cared?
He wants all the smoke. Like, you remember, it was a last year, he's screaming in Tristan Thompson's face.
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I want to see that.
I know, but I'm with you too. But Marcus Morris, I think he's our first one, and I did it in order just so we could get a guy in the, like, he wasn't supposed to be the next name, but just so I can get him in that category. So right now it's 6-1. And
it's
now
not a great ratio.
And this is going to be a tough one for me to say too, but, like, you know, the stats are the stats, the facts are the facts. Terry Rozier, he's also I'm unsatisfied with him. And that's pretty big for me to say. Now, before you say anything, like, I do want to preface it that I still love Terry Rozier, because I think if you put him on another team, he's going to be a very good scoring point guard. But I'm talking the Celtics right now, and this is not the fit for him. It's not the fit for him unless it's going to be his starting role, and I don't see that happening. You know what I mean? Even if Kyrie walks, I think Terry's probably already going to have signed somewhere else by then, because I can see Kyrie waiting to the last minute and everything like that. So, yeah, honestly, Terry Rozier, you heard it here first. Probably the first time for me. I'm unsatisfied with him.
I mean, last year, awesome. But this year, he's just so out of control when he runs. Actually, when he runs anywhere. When he runs into that paint, it's like he's running blind. I don't know what's going to happen with the ball. I don't know where he's going to end up in the crowd. But he needs to slow down his game a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's his thing. He's being aggressive. But he needs to slow it down, because he's not very good at finishing at the rim. He's great at hitting the shot right before the buzzer, usually half court. I think he's going to leave. I think he's going to go to a much different system of basketball. Maybe he'll go to the Phoenix Suns, where you can just launch it up and do whatever you want.
And I think we saw Terry Rozier that had the go-ahead to do that. And guess what? Last year, he was really good. Last year, everyone was on my side about Terry Rozier. Now it's different. So don't count Terry Rozier out yet. Don't count him out as a player yet. He's going to get his money. He's going to be worth that money, because we've seen flashes of it. The Celtics, though, in terms of, you know, comparing apples to apples here, it's not the fit for him, and he hasn't been what we needed him to be at all. So that's 7-1 now.
Gotta get rid of Drew Bledsoe. Gotta bring Rozier back.
Yeah.
The script should have not been turned.
No, seriously. I mean, it's like Terry used to own Eric Bledsoe, and now it's not even that. You know what I mean? It's not even, we can't even say like, oh, Terry Rozier kills the Bucks or anything. No, no, not even close.
Bledsoe's 4'11". He's running to the rim, and nobody's contesting him.
He's out there. His little feet are going.
Yeah, goes right by him.
All right. What about we only got I would say maybe just two more, I guess, and these ones don't even matter that much because Marcus Smart. Sure, I'm satisfied with him. For why, I don't necessarily know. Like, it's just he's always going to be Marcus Smart. Like, he's bringing the stuff that no one brings. So yeah, I'm satisfied with him because we don't expect him to score. And if we're basing this off expectations, then fine. In terms of the playoffs, like, kind of sucks he was injured. Not really his fault, but I'm still just satisfied overall with Marcus Smart. Like, he's not the issue to me. He's still the only Celtic on the team. So there we go. There's a satisfactory one from me.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think if he wasn't coming back in the series at all, I would have absolutely zero confidence that we could come back. And my confidence level isn't very high at all. But with him being there, I feel a little more comfortable. Last night's probably going to have some rust. He hasn't played in a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping after getting last night out of the way, he'll be ready to go for the next game. So I don't put too much blame on him. I'm ready for him to come out and just do whatever he can to get that loose ball back to the Celtics.
Yeah, so I think I want to say that's nine names. I mean, we could stop there just because I feel like that's the only ones. Fine, Aaron Baines. Like, he's so indifferent to me, but I guess I would say satisfied. Like, just, it's bad when you're saying, okay, I'm going to say satisfied just because he hasn't, like, unsatisfied me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Aaron Baines has been stellar for me, but he was damn important this year. But in terms of satisfaction, like, he missed a lot of games. He was injured a decent amount. So, I don't know. But let's put him in the category just to help that category. So, it's 7-3, okay?
Well, so far, it's only been two guys named Marcus.
Yeah, true. Let's
I don't know if he fits the credentials here.
Yeah, true. But so either way, Sean, 70% of this team, 70% and up, you could argue unsatisfactory. You want to throw in Brad Stevens too? That's, you know, we're talking 75% and up. Like, ugh, it's terrible. It's so hard to pretend to get excited for this team. And I don't want to say pretending, like, every single game when I'm doing my streams and stuff, I'm just faking it. I'm not doing that, but it's like there's clearly a different type of excitement. Like, it's not coming from the heart. It's almost coming from disbelief. Like, holy shit, the Celtics looked good tonight. Like, let's go. Rather than, let's go, we got this. Way different.
And I tweeted last night, the second that we didn't take advantage of Giannis and Middleton being on the bench, the game was over.
Yeah. No, Sean, take advantage. The Bucks got the lead.
Like, I know the Bucks are like, all right, now we're a better team, apparently.
Yeah, like, not even take advantage. They lost they get the disadvantage. Oh,
the Celtics were like, okay.
It was nuts. It was so annoying just to watch. That's honestly the word. Like, I guess I would say that. That's like the word, an annoyance. Like, I'm annoyed by this team. Do I hate the Celtics? No. Do I hope they win? Yes. Like, would I eat crow? Would I eat crow if they go in on a win streak and don't lose and win the NBA Finals? Yeah, I'm not going to be mad that my predictions or hatred of certain guys was wrong. Not even close. Like, I would love for that to happen. Guess what, Sean? Probably not going to happen.
Even if they won the Finals, everything we say is still true.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's still going to have hold weight. Like, guess what? Gordon Hayward did not have a good year. He could play really, really well for the next, what, 11 games? I think I just did really math. If they sweep from now until the finals, guess what? We're still going to say Gordon Hayward didn't have a good regular season. So, either way. I don't know. We just ranted.
I'd love to see a 30-for-30 on this team if they win the championship. Like, how the hell did that happen? Like, we hate each other.
A 30-for-30, that would be
Our fans hate us.
That would just be a blockbuster in the theaters. You wouldn't need to do an ESPN 30-for-30 or whatever it is. You would not have to. You could literally write a movie script about it. It would be Hoosiers 2.0. 30-for-30.
Way better than Uncle Drew.
Yeah, oh my God. Don't get me started.
Kyrie might not even know who he is. He might. Am I Uncle Drew or am I Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, they're like, Drew, and he's like, what? It's like, dude, you're not Drew. Talking to, just so annoying. But I mean, that's one way to take up time in a podcast, Sean.
Bitch about the Celtics and talk a lot of Bruins.
Yeah, good thing we focused mostly on the Bruins tonight.
Don't forget about the slapstick.
But in all seriousness, like the Bruins, the fact that, let's talk about this because it's also slightly Celtics talk. If you were to ask me, like, okay, Patriots won, or Red Sox won, Patriots won. Now we just need, you know, the Bruins and the Celtics. Who would drop the ball? I would have said the Bruins 10 times out of 10, just because the Celtics were supposed to be so good. I'm not pretending to know a lot about the Bruins, but I know how good the Celtics were supposed to be, and the Celtics stink.
You know, the Bruins are going to be the one that gets the 3 out of 4, and the Celtics, like you said, I thought they'd be the one that did it. And here we are. The Bruins are going to, the Celtics are going to F this up. We're not going to get the 4 for 4 that we deserve.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Ugh.
It could be so obtainable, and they're ruining it.
There's always next year, Shawnee.
Yeah, well, I don't think all four teams are going to win it again. They could. I mean, it's New England, but this was the year to do it. Because I think the Bruins, I don't want to talk too much more Bruins. I don't want to annoy the listeners, but they could. I think they're going
to
do it.
Yeah. So we said congrats to them, and then we're finishing off saying the Bruins are going to win the cup. Sean, if we want to have like better attitudes and, you know, just overall better moods, we should just stop watching the Celtics and we'll just only talk Bruins.
Honestly, we'd probably be a lot happier if we were just Bruins fans.
We'd be like, did you see that guy hit that black thing with the stick? So,
Our Bruins writers, they seem generally happy. They seem stressed out, but it's all worth it because their team ends up winning.
Yeah, they're getting to write about wins and how this team's going to possibly win the cup, and you heard it here on the Boss Talk that they are going to win the cup, knock on wood. But yeah, either way, I mean, ugh, Celtics, you've disgusted me lately. I liked watching the 06 Celtics or like the 2003 Celtics more than this.
Give me some Al Jefferson and Gerald Green. Give me all those guys.
Please, seriously though. Some like
Sebastian,
like,
Telfair, who's facing up to 15 years in prison. Give me back those days.
I almost included that in the article too, but I was like, no, people are going to find it they wouldn't find it genuine if I was like, I liked watching a team that won 20 games. But it's almost the truth, like in terms of enjoyment. Again, if you want to listen to what Sean and I are saying, we're not saying that any of these teams, like the Isaiah Thomas team or anything like that, they weren't better than this team. I get it. The Eastern Conference is a little bit better too, so it's more watered down. But screw that. I just want to be able to enjoy the team. And then, you know what? Celtic basketball creates magical things, just like Isaiah Thomas bringing his team to the Eastern Conference Finals. You don't need to be the most talented team to be a Boston team. We've seen it over and over again. This is a special city, and this Celtics team is just fucking that up.
Like, look at the Trailblazers. Like, they have a decent team, but they're exciting, and they might make it just because of that. Like, that's a good series. It's a decent team, and they're likable.
Yeah. You don't think the Trailblazers are liking their team right now? Jeez. I don't think I'd ever say it, but I'd rather be a Trailblazers fan right now.
Like, and the Cantor, his life is on the line if he leaves the country, but he's still smiling.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. But, all right, Sean, we have one listener question. I don't want to forget him. Actually forgot it. I don't know if you have
two now.
Do we? All right, why don't you hit us with them?
Well, the first one, it is from The Real Duggles. Sorry if I messed up your last name or your first name. I don't know. He's asking, how do we get Kemba? And, of course, he's speaking of Kemba Walker. Well, he's a free agent. He's probably not coming here.
Yeah, I do think – I honestly want to say, and I don't want to be wrong here, but I think that there is some monetary obstacles with him. Like, I think we are misinterpreting. I think they'd have to move some stuff around, but I would fact check that if you want to take that, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because I think that there's something about Kemba or any other big max guy that even if Kyrie leaves, like there's something going on with the cap. I'm sure if we didn't sign anyone else or something like that, it would work. So I'm not going to say that wouldn't work. Like, how do we get Kemba? Hope that he wants to sign here. That's the easiest way to answer it. But I also want to say I've seen something out there that, you know, there's some obstacles that other things would have to happen first, Sean. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, same if we wanted Durant. I think he'd have to sign a one-year deal with the Warriors and then get traded over here, and then we'd sign him to a max a year after.
Right, which then you'd have to hope, just like we thought Kyrie we were doing, trade for him, and then he's going to sign here long-term. Yeah, okay, I'll pack your own bags and kick you on the ass getting you on that plane. I would paddle boat Kyrie to New York right now.
Absolutely.
I'm fed up with them. I know that they're not going to be better without him. I get it. If they have to ride Tatum and Brown, they take a couple steps back, but I believe in those guys. Let's not get into it. Let's stick with the questions. You said we have two?
Yeah, he's got a couple questions fit in here. It's Celtics Reddit Pod. He's got a podcast. Is one of the main problems that Kyrie just doesn't fit into Brad's system? Is another problem that Brad Stevens won't change his system to suit Kyrie? Shouldn't we just let Kyrie walk, is what he's saying?
All right, let me handle this quickly. Both of your questions are both of the first questions are correct. Those guys just do not mesh. They're not the same type of guy. Kyrie is a pound the ball into the ground and create your own shot. Brad Stevens is an all-for-one, one-for-all type offense. Those do not mesh. That's why I think that there's something just genuinely, fundamentally wrong with this. That's everyone asked me all year long, Sean, wait, will the Celtics click come playoff time? No, because there's actually circle pieces trying to fit into square pegs or whatever the saying is. And then should we therefore let Kyrie walk or gladly let Kyrie walk? I'm at the point right now where, yes, I will gladly let Kyrie walk. I'm still not totally, I know I just had a dog or a paddle boat him to New York. I'm still not totally on the, like, get out of here, Kyrie thing, because I just want to see them pick a lane. Like, if they're going to ride Kyrie, they have to decide, okay, then we're trading the young talent and trying to build a super team. I think that I'm not going to say gladly let Kyrie walk, but if he walks, I'll gladly let him walk. Is that, like, I don't want my, I'm not saying my number one goal is to make Kyrie leave, but if he does leave, I'll be fine.
And he's making that a little easier on us this series. Before I was kind of worried, but it's, maybe it won't be the worst thing for him or the Celtics. And if they change the system just to fit into him and then he leaves, now you got a whole team just confused in a different system that they shouldn't be playing in.
Right. Right. So just to answer all of those questions in one, I would say if he walks, we're fine. If they stay and they say, hey, this is your team, then you know what? We'll have to cross that bridge when we get to it. We have to see what happens. Maybe him and Brad Stevens can work together. Who knows? But if I can, what I can answer definitively is if Kyrie walks, I'll tell him not to let the door hit him.
Nope. Got to go. He's not. If he doesn't care, like he says last night.
Who cares?
He can go. Who cares?
Yeah. Bye, buddy. But
good Elf reference.
All right, Sean, where can they follow us on Twitter?
Good question. Let me pull that right up right now. It is the Boss Talk.
Whoa. Which,
it sounds just, it, I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's the Boss Talk. Make sure you follow us.
Did you think I was just going to change the Twitter handle? Like,
I thought it was much more elaborate for a second.
No, it's because Sean's missed two episodes in a row, so I changed it to like the Evan Show.
It's just the Evan Show now.
Yeah. No, but seriously, you can follow us on Twitter at The Boss Talk. Follow Guy Boston Sports on Twitter at Guy Boston Sports. Sean is Palmer Guy Boston, and my handle is F Guy Boston. Follow us there. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes and Spotify and stuff like that. It really helps us out. But Sean, hopefully we have some sort of a... I'm almost excited to just sink my teeth into the Red Sox season so that we can start talking some positives, but I'm even scared that that season isn't going how we wanted to, so...
And they're winning 6-3 right now, the Red Sox, so things are starting to turn around a little bit for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
But hopefully we won't be holding a Boston Celtics funeral during the next episode.
Yep. But boy, oh boy. We'll see. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.